Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better. And that is eat more Reese's peanut butter cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's peanut butter cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these. How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. Are you curious about Army helicopters? How about the connection between Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, and Dancin' It's On? Or maybe just want to hear what Jason and I are watching and listening to? Well, you've come to the right place because now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Last looks, hit the theme. How did this get made?
Late night dreaming, creating vision boards. How did this get made? Handshakes were made after multiple dinners. And they're working. And they're working. And they're working. And they're working. This got made. Producers, directors, writers, interns. People follow through. Together, they hit upload. Together, they hit upload.
What's up, Panama City? Where are my mimes at? And the answer is silence. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the show. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and this is Last Looks. You heard it right. We are changing the name of these episodes because it's not a mini episode. No, no, no. When we first started How Did This Get Made, I would do a mini episode that would just bridge the gap between the two episodes. It would just simply be me introducing the film for next week and a trailer, and maybe we would read something from a Facebook group. But we have evolved. We have changed. If you haven't listened in a long time, let me tell you about the segments we have in the show. All right, we got the helpline where me, Paul Scheer, help you. I'm going to be here to be a problem solver. I can talk to you as a parent. I could talk to you as someone who's been in a relationship. I can make a guess at dating. But more importantly, say you have a fight and you want to know who's right, give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And I will be the impartial judge. And I will tell you you're right or you're wrong. So get your problem settled here. I'm like Judge Judy, but different. Plus, we always are going to have our corrections and omissions where you get to weigh in on the movie. What did we miss? Whose name did we mispronounce? What research did you find? And if you haven't listened in a bit, our Discord community goes deep. Do not cross them. They will find out every dirty little secret about you. It's so easy to jump onto our Discord. It's completely free. It's discord.gg/hdtgm. It takes 30 seconds to set up, and it's a beautiful community run by amazing moderators. You will love it. It makes you want to be online. Plus, Jason Mantzoukas joins me in just a little bit, and we talk about all the things that we're watching, reading, listening to. It's often very heavily Star Wars. Today, it's basically an ad for HBO Max. Like those commercials, you ever hear them when you're driving around and you think it's like radio DJs, but they're just talking about like what's on NBC. It's like, hey, Frank, do you ever hear about that crazy new show? Oh, wait, the one about the Chicago Fire Department. Oh, yeah, I love that show. Oh, well, what's happening on it tonight? It's really my favorite ad campaign ever that they have fake radio DJs talking about TV shows as if they are fans. Anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, fine. Don't worry about it because I'm done talking about it. Anyway, a big shout out to One High Five for this week's theme song. One High Five did not know we were changing the name to Last Looks, but now that we have, we need new theme songs and we want to hear yours because one of the best parts of Last Looks is hearing your songs. And if you have a song that you want to write, sing, send them in to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. 15 to 20 seconds is best. And all you got to do is send them in and we will play them. Any segment of the show is open for a theme because we like to move them around a lot. And now let's get into it. I know we talk a lot about movies, but there are bigger things out there in the world. You got problems. Let me solve them. It is time for the Paul Helpline.
There is a man. His name is Tall John.
Thank you, Francis Day. Here's the deal, people. You call me with a problem, I try to help. Our first caller and only caller this week is Brandon, and he needs some parenting advice. Brandon, what do you got?
Hey, Paul. Brandon here. I am the father to a beautiful 12-week-old son, and my wife is about to go back to work, and we are kind of fretting about parental responsibility, making sure that we're both there to take care of the kid. And I want to know, as a father, if you have any advice about role sharing and making sure that both partners feel like they are taking on an even amount of responsibility for the rearing of the child. And to a side note to that, I would love for you and June to do a marriage and parenting podcast where you just kind of describe your process. Every time that you guys delve into whatever little bit of your personal life you do, especially the Drop Dead Fred elements, during that episode where you talked about your family life, I would love to hear more about that kind of stuff and get some great advice. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, Brandon, thank you so much for that call. I don't think you'd ever hear a parenting or relationship advice podcast from June and I. It makes me laugh even thinking that that would be something that I could even bring up to June. But honestly, I wouldn't want to do that because I'm really afraid of anything that is super prescriptive. I can tell you things that I think work. I can tell you what has worked for me. But whenever anyone tells me this is what you have to do, I often find those people are full of shit because the truth is everyone's different. Things work differently, especially when it comes to kids and relationships. Everybody is completely, completely different. And I'm hearing your concern here. I think going back to work and starting this new life with a new person in your life is hard. It's challenging. So what I'm going to say is this. Don't overthink it, right? There are things that you have to take care of because it's a living, breathing person that needs attention for literally everything that they do. So all the responsibilities will be taken care of. Now, they might just organically fall in place, but here's what I'll say. If you feel like you're doing too little, step it up. If you feel like you're doing too much, open yourself up because everybody is incredibly vulnerable in this moment. You are going back to work. You're feeling like you're not there. You want to be there more. Just continue to talk to each other. This will all figure itself out at one point. Even to this day, June and I, our morning routine to get both kids out the door to different schools is not hard and fast rules. We sometimes One of us will sleep in, the other one will get up and do it all. Another time, one will do that for a week and the other will just sleep in for a week. It just becomes this awareness of, well, I did that, you did this. And again, you don't want to keep track of it in a way that makes it all weird. But I think just be open to sharing and be open to stepping it up. You just have to be aware. That's all I'm going to say. Be aware and it will all start to work out. I know that that's vague and probably not the best advice that you want to hear. I'll be like, well, write it down and then you do this and she does that. But the truth is your life is in flux, right? You may get home early. You may have more energy. She may be exhausted. There may be a million things here. So just get each other's back. You know the job. The job is keep baby alive. And you both have to just figure out how to do that. I hope that that is good. I hope that is the best advice you can get, because I think it will actually help you. Just be aware of what's going on around you. Anyway, if you need some advice or a second opinion, give me a call. I'm an impartial judge. I try to practice what I preach. Sometimes I just speak right out of my ass. Ask me a dating tip. I don't know. I haven't dated anybody in a long time. I did date a while ago. Let's see if that old school mentality still works. Anyway, give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And now we have to hear a word from our sponsors. Oh, our great sponsors, because they let this show be for free. You can give them a second of your time. And when we're back, we're going to hear your questions, your comments, and your concerns about dancing. It's on. How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Today's episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Well, guess what, people? This is the deal for you. It's Philo. Philo's got movies. It's got shows, and it's got live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Philo has unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows, and you can watch them on your own schedule. That's right. It also allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams. That's right. Mom can be in the kitchen. Dad can be out in the man cave. And Sister Tina can be in her own room. Never miss a minute of shows, because there's no better way to watch TV when Philo has more than 70 channels like ID, Lifetime, and MTV. So try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/bonkers. That's philo.tv. mintmobile.com/bonkers to get 50% off your first month. All right, people, just so you know, we are doing live shows at Largo in Los Angeles. If you live in LA, come check us out. April 14th, two shows back to back. There are some seats available for the second show, and I think four seats available for the earlier show, the 7:30 show. So check it out. Just go to largo-la.com, and we will be announcing a bigger tour soon. So hopefully we'll get to some places we haven't gotten to in a long time. Anyway, let's get back to the important stuff. And that important stuff is dancing. It's on. We talked at length about this film. We had questions like, where did that $12 million go? And we might have even missed a few things. And here's your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is time for corrections and omissions.
Yeah, baby. Jason, June, Paul, they correct themselves, but they can't correct them all. If you got omissions, corrections with Paul. Just pick up the phone and you give them a call. You give them a call. You just give them a call. 1-800 if Paul asks, you can make a call.
Thank you, Chris Purcell, for that great theme. Let's go to the Discord. Cameron H., an MVP, an MVP player in the Discord, in the corrections and omissions world, writes, I have had the honor, of staying in this very hotel in Panama City Beach in real life. It's called Shores of Panama. In regard to Pops's room and its depressing state, that could very well be a room at that hotel. But that's not to say that all the rooms look like that. My room was decent, spacious, renovated, and had a good view. Although I can confirm Paul's suspicion, it's definitely the type of place a bunch of college kids would go and split a room. The father's room was definitely a separate location. Cameron H., please post your pictures from that trip. We need to see them. Why did you pick Shores of Panama? Did they have any memorabilia up when you were there? I feel like this is the Planet Hollywood of hotels. I wonder if you missed something. Did you stay on, you know, on the floor where they, you know, where the mime got his makeup done? That would be great to know. Buttonhead writes, this is the synopsis from the original Dancin' It's On website. June is going to be pissed. This coming-of-age dance film in the spirit of Dirty Dancing, and High School Musical, is about two young lovers from different worlds who find a common bond in their love of dance and who ultimately work together to win a major dance competition. Well, wait a second. Do not put the ending in the synopsis. You can't do that. You can't, like, it's like saying, like, Empire Strikes Back. Luke finds out that Darth Vader's actually his father, and he meets a little green weirdo. Dirty Dancing. Well, there it is. Buttonhead. Thank you, Buttonhead. Right on it. Miss Lizzie writes, surprised it wasn't mentioned that Shotzi and Danny were both on So You Think You Can Dance Canada. Are you really surprised, Miss Lizzie, that I didn't know the contestants on So You Think You Can Dance Canada? Okay. Miss Lizzie, I think you're great, but I'm not really going there. I barely know any contestants on So You Think You Can Dance America. Shotzi was first to Danny's third. I heard a boot in Danny's voice and looked him up. Well, Miss Lizzie, you should come in and start doing the research for us. By the way, this is the kind of stuff I'm open. I'm open to getting schooled. And thank you for schooling me for not giving the... By the way, I know I butchered the pronunciation of some names, and I apologize for that, but that's what I do. I apologize. I try to stay on it. Anyway, let's go to the phone. This is from Anonymous.
Hi, Paul. I just listened to your episode about Dancing It's On. The Shakespeare quoting concierge is the drama teacher at the local community college and was involved in community college and community theater with me when I lived in Panama City. And I thought it was hilarious. Thank you so much for reviewing this movie. I really enjoyed it. Bye.
Oh, I love that. I love that you did community theater together. I love that you were in Panama City together. I want to know more about your time there. What happened in Panama Beach? I call it Panama City. I know it's a different place. Anyway, thank you for calling in. We love our concierge. All right, next call from DC.
Hey, Paul, this is John from Washington, D.C., calling with a correction involving the helicopter and the photo in Danson, colon, it's on. That, I'm pretty sure, is a Bell AH-1 Super Cobra, which was used by the Marine Corps from Vietnam all the way right through 2020. So at first I thought it might have been a picture of the choreographer himself or a buddy who had died. There's no reason it couldn't have been his son, though, since how long that it was in operation. Otherwise, I think you called it the Tomahawk in the episode. Lots of military helicopters do use Native American terms, but usually it's a tribe name like Iroquois, Comanche, Chinook, Kiowa, Apache, etc. This one was, the Cobra was adapted from the Iroquois, which is also known as the Huey more commonly. But anyway, I know that picture was a little confusing at first until they mentioned who it actually was. But great episode. Hope you're doing well. Bye.
Thank you, John. You know what? I'm realizing, John, as you were talking, I said Tomahawk because that was my G.I. Joe helicopter. I just Googled it, and Tomahawk was a G.I. Joe helicopter toy. So that's what I was referencing. And you're right. When I was in Iraq, I was on a Chinook. So I blame G.I. Joe. I blame G.I. Joe for getting that bad terminology in my head. But thank you for that very thorough exploration of helicopters. I don't know why we went so deep on that, but I appreciate that you wanted to. And I'm going to tell you this much. That is the writer and director's son in that photo. So that's a little fact that I learned. By the way, I did talk to somebody online who worked on the film, and I said, do you think it's possible they spent $12 million? And he said, I don't know, because I wasn't on that side of it, but they did shoot for a very, very long time. So the $12 million may have just been eking out like a slow leaky ship or, you know, maybe like the drip drip of one of those hotel showers, which you know that hotel has all those leaky ass showers in there. Dr. Guts 1003 writes, I found it odd that there was never any stated prize for this statewide dance competition. Multiple characters explain how important it is for them to win, yet there are no stakes established for the audience. Why not make it a cash prize that would help Ken quit his lowly dishwashing job, or the award winner some sort of permanent dancing gig that would help Ken fulfill his dream of being a professional dancer? At least and high strung, the hunky British violinist got a scholarship to go to that performing arts college. But here, all Jen and Ken got is a lame trophy handed to them from Miss Panama City Beach. Hey, Dr. Guts, sometimes the best gift, the best prize is bragging rights. And that's what they got. Some good old-fashioned bragging rights. They got to be the statewide champs. And you know what? They don't need much because, truthfully, where could they go? Like, who was in the audience watching? You're right. There are no stakes about there's. It just seems like dancing in this world is for fun and for just besting your friends. I mean, the way that dancing is supposed to be, right? It's not about so you think you can dance. No. It's just about busting a move and feeling the groove. I know these things because I am a former dancer. Cameron H. back in the mix, double dipping this week. So I've gone down a bit of a rabbit hole with this movie. What struck me is, according to the movie posters, the movie won 3 awards. It won Best Director, Best Editor, and Best Music Score for something called the Widescreen Film and Music Video Awards. Searching out these awards, I found a website devoted to the winners and this film, including the entirety of the award ceremony. Wow, we can watch the entire award ceremony of the Widescreen Film and Video Music Awards. But what jumped out to me was this. David Winters choreographed the 1976 remake of A Star Is Born with Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson, as well as the TV movie Star Wars Holiday Special. Wait, what? What? By the way, the dancing in that Star Wars Holiday Special when the chess pieces start moving around is pretty badass. I love that. There are some really great things in that atrocious atrocious special, which I was, well, I don't know if I can even talk about what I was trying to do with that. Anyway, interesting to find how did this get made connections. But yeah, no, this guy, David Winters, was a real deal choreographer. He's a no messing around guy. We saw what he could do by the pool, you know, and that was with congestive heart failure. Anyway, Dr. Guts weighs back in. We're getting a lot of double dipping this week. Dr. Guts writes, speaking of how did this get made connections, David Winters also is good friends with Breakin' Two's Electric Boogaloo's Shabadoo. And there's a video of Shabadoo on Steve Allen's show called The Big Show that was choreographed by David Winters. Wow, Shabadoo also worked with Barbra Streisand, according to the video. So Shabadoo and David Winters are getting it up in the mix for A Star Is Born. You can watch that David Winters and Shabadoo video. It's 7 minutes long. You can watch it on YouTube. You can also just go to our Discord and check it out there. Corgi Herder said, I did the research on where the money might have gone. The $12 million budget shocked me, and after digging into things and referencing a Panama City news article and David Winters' autobiography, wow, I think I made sense of its wild budget. Here is the timeline. The premise comes to David in Thailand. It's about a rich and American girl and a poor Thai dishwasher. Ooh, I like that. David states he worked on the synopsis for 6 months. The synopsis? Okay. Including the screenplay work. And this is over a year with his son Alex helping to modernize the dialogue. While he was shooting, he claimed there are 42 versions of the screenplay. We talked about that. Since he couldn't find the right dancer in Thailand, he moved the story to Florida. Scouting location started in winter of 2011. In his 2018 autobiography, he states he had been living in Florida for over 5 years. He moved there after Thailand was nixed for the shooting. So at this point in writing, it's probably late 2012, which means that writing started in 2011. So shooting started in January in 2013. It was unusually cold in Florida, and according to the county's film commissioner, Julie Ann Gordon, extremely long days and vampire overnight shoots went on for over a year. Over a year. Shooting while businesses were closed and rehearsing in off hours at local dance schools and venues. Temperatures dropped below freezing when they shot in summer clothing. Spring was no respite because the spring breakers that they had hoped to integrate into the shooting were awful, with legions of drunk and stoned kids causing traffic jams and other problems. David said some even urinated in the elevator of our hotel. One day I counted 65 people in a hotel jacuzzi that should have held 12 or a third at most. Wow, wow, wow. 65 people in a jacuzzi. Talk about splitting a room, splitting a jacuzzi. Shooting stopped because of spring break, perhaps in April, and didn't resume until June. During this period, David was admitted to the hospital with congestive heart failure and left to finish a shoot. Weather continued to be a problem, with another reference to a cold night, perhaps indicating the shoot lasted into a second winter. Multiple people reference a shooting that lasted over a year, with Gordon stating 15 months. David Winters said he had been working on the film for over 4 years. No source states how many actual weeks they actually filmed, but for reference, Guinness World Record for a shoot cited Eyes Wide Shut for over 15 months, a period that included an unbroken shoot of 46 weeks. Wow. During editing, he was in and out of surgery for heart congestive failure 12 times. They put on a cross-country red carpet premiere in 7 cities, New York, Boston, Minneapolis, Las Vegas, Hollywood, Florida, Panama City Beach. David collapsed during the Panama City Beach premiere and was taken to the hospital. The film was released on October 29th. Deadline states there was a 3-day cumulative total of $29,000 in 200 theaters. There's no other information on what it made, and despite David's insistence that the DVDs were selling out in over 400 Walmarts, it's unlikely they recouped their cost. Wow. I would love to see someone involved give a more detailed analysis, because the timeline does have some issues, but it appears it was a long and troubled shoot with loads of choreography and hundreds of extras to manage. And then I just want to say, for the first time ever on the show, Corgi Herder listed references. So we can't just say that Corgi was making it up. This is wild, but it makes sense. I mean, if you are doing overnights and overages and renting spaces and working during the day and it's 15 months, I believe that $12 million went very quickly. I don't know why they didn't spend any of it on sound, but wow, I am blown away by that. I'm not even going to tease you because there is only one winner here. That winner is the great Corgi Herder for that amazing breakdown of where the $12 million went. And you know what? Just like the dance competition, there is no cash prize, just bragging rights. But you do get something. You do get this amazing song from Bombay Beach Revival. Bombay Beach Revival, hit it! If you want to chime in with your own thoughts about this episode, not this one, because we already did it, but of any of the episodes that we do next, you can just go to our Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm or call me at 619-PAUL-ASK. Coming up, Jason and I chat about all the things you should be watching and listening to. It's time for another episode of Core Chat right after our break. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the news? Well, you are not alone. Listen to Love It or Leave It, hosted by former Obama speechwriter and comedian John Lovett. As a former White House staffer, he is no stranger to political chaos, but don't worry, that doesn't mean he's keeping a cool head in today's chaos-filled news cycle. Far from it. It is the only show where you hear Golden Globe winner Greta Lee give award-worthy readings of listener mail and Kathy Griffin go off on all things MAGA. Hold tight to your sanity and listen to Love It or Leave It wherever you get your podcasts. Now, you might be noticing we are doing a new thing with How Did This Get Made's back catalog. Every week, we are re-releasing an old episode in the stream. This week's re-release was Miami Connection. And coming up is LOL. Remember LOL with Chelsea Peretti? It is one of my favorites. Chelsea Peretti, one of the greats, is so funny on this episode. So check that out every Monday in your podcast feed. We are re-releasing old episodes. And if you want to have a little sampler platter of it, head on over to my YouTube page where I do a little video introduction to each episode. But now, I think we give you a lot of chance to talk about all your problems, all your issues. But now you're going to hear from Jason and I because it is time for Quar Chat. And Honest Jams got the greatest theme. Take it away. Thank you, Honest Jams. And Jason, we're back.
Oh, boy. Thrilled to be here. Have we officially renamed these episodes?
Yes, it is now called Last Looks. You
nice.
Are now a part of Last Looks.
Ooh.
Yes, Last Looks Core Chat.
I love it. I love it.
Jason, I teased in the last episode
okay.
that you turned me on to two things that I'm so happy about.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you
Ooh,
both.
I can't wait.
Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah.
I did not see it, watched both seasons of it, and love it. Like, love
it. So funny,
it.
Right?
It's so funny.
So
you're
smart, so stupid, and, so funny.
And insane. I mean, the fact of, like, the neon motorcycle killers and like it goes so big.
It goes so big. And it's also like this kind of amazing satire of big religion and mega churches and all of this kind of stuff. But it's still keeping inside of the Danny McBride, Jody Hill, David Gordon Green kind of point of view. It really is. John Goodman is incredible, I think, especially in season two.
John Goodman is amazing. The guest stars they have from Eric Roberts, who just to see Eric Roberts back doing that, like all the little, like the little tweaks, the just the people that you don't ever, like you don't know, they're not, they don't even seem like they may be actors. Like that crew that Danny hangs out with, like the people in his men's group. Yeah, I mean, Jody is in is one of them.
Yeah, Jody is the guitar player in the band of the big church. You know, for a lot of people, Gemstones might be their introduction to Edie Patterson.
Okay, well, this is what I was going to say.
Unreal.
That monologue that she gives, and I won't spoil it.
But
she gives a monologue
at the end of season one.
At the end of season one with Tim Baltz, and the two of them are fantastic. I've always been a big Tim Baltz fan, but Edie Patterson, that monologue that she gives, June hasn't watched any Gemstones. And I said, June, she hates when I try to show her anything. Yeah. And I was like, please just let me show you this. And we rewound it three times in a row.
It's incredible.
It's
an incredible monologue. And she's a groundling. She comes out of the groundlings. Right. Another groundling in this cast who I didn't know is Tony Cavallaro.
Oh, yes.
Keith?
Yes. I did a movie with Tony. He's in this movie called The Binge, which is on Hulu. And the idea is like it's like The Purge. Where, you know, there's one day of violence, but in this movie, alcohol and drugs are illegal and there's one day to get fucked up.
Yeah.
And he plays this guy from South Florida who like runs a limo service in the first Binge. I was like, who is this guy?
He's so funny.
And then when I saw Gemstones, I was like, holy shit, he's in this. And actually, McBride's son is in The Binge as well.
That's funny.
I guess they both just shot the pilot,
funny.
So,
the entire cast is incredible. Danny's great, Edie Patterson, Goodman, Adam Devine, like everybody is, and then like you said, bringing in Walton Goggins, bringing in Eric Roberts, bringing all of the kind of guest stars and recurring people are incredible.
Eric Andre was great this year. You know, but there was one thing I don't know. I don't feel like many shows do this. And it may just be the fact that like McBride gets to do exactly what he wants to do on HBO. But that show can really toggle between like extreme violence, like harsh, not comical violence, next to a scene where like four people are puking in a parking lot that is so almost like Mel Brooksian. Like it is just goofy shit.
It's a tone that literally I think nobody else is doing. Really, nobody else is doing a show that is a crime show that has just absolute hard jokes in it that is incredibly silly and stupid. You know what I mean? Like it is so. It's there are so many funny, silly bits inside of it, while still maintaining your connection to the larger crime story that's usually going on season long. It's like a serialized season long story, but then like every episode has all sorts of like nonsense adventures that these characters are on.
Adam Devine is great. The whole Jesus Squad that they had.
So funny.
But yeah, it is. I don't know why it wasn't fully on my radar.
Too.
Yes.
It's constantly, at least for me, it was. I was constantly being surprised, like, oh, they're doing this? Oh,
me
too.
I think, you know, for me, I loved Eastbound and Down so much. It's like one of my and I loved, you know, Foot Fist Way. And there was something about Gemstones where I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I don't know if that will be like fully for me, but. You know, I'm sure it will be good. I couldn't have been more wrong. I feel like it's it's exactly the show that I would want to be
Absolutely.
Watching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. No, it really
is. Each season has like flashback episodes where they go back into like their younger selves, younger Walton Goggins and younger John Goodman. And that's terrific. Like, they really do a very good job, like kind of building out this world. And like I said earlier, it's also functions as like a satire of like
of
big
course.
Religion.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, capitalist religion. It's really interesting.
So love that. Love, love, love.
Oh, that makes me happy. Great.
And then just last night, finished How To with John Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've never watched either.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And
incredible.
I know everyone has said, you have to watch it. It's genius. It's one of the funniest shows on TV. Again, I don't know why I dragged my feet on it. That show is masterful.
Like that is like maybe one of the best shows of the last 5 years. Incredible show.
What is so interesting, and I was kind of, again, June did not want to watch it. She was upset by the voice of John Wilson, and now she loves it and can't stop watching it. Like, it just takes a second.
It's unreal.
But there is something about it that I was thinking about. I was like, how do I describe this? And I was like, well, it's kind of like what TV Carnage is in a way. Like, back in the day, there were these tapes that, like, Derek Beckles made, where it was like kind of a montage of like
weird... But it's
weird...
like TV Carnage for humanity.
Well, yes. And I guess what I'm saying is like the show is this fascinating, like in-depth look at different things. But the visual montage of it all is like you could watch it with the sound off and it's utterly
fascinating. You could, and it would be incredibly compelling. But what is so often so fascinating is the juxtaposition
Absolutely.
Of images
yes.
and voiceover and what he's saying versus what he's showing.
Yes.
And it really is so smart and so funny and also so, I mean it when I say like, it's an incredibly humanist show.
Yes.
He's someone who's a documentary filmmaker and he has a real curiosity about people in every episode. He happens to come into contact with a person, like, and then he goes down the rabbit hole of that person's, like, obsession or that person's thing. And what you're following is John's natural curiosity to a degree that is almost every time shocking. And again, I go back to, like on Gemstones, like, every episode I'm surprised, which is so incredible.
There's one episode about wine, mm-hmm. right? And that's in the second season. Where that episode goes is so, like, there's moments in it where you get nervous. Like, that one where when he goes to visit someone, you're like, oh my, like, wait, the gate's opening? Like,
yes.
You know, and there are these moments that are not pre-planned. I think there's some moments where he is, like, brought to him, but these moments that he finds and just has a conversation and it just opens up.
Well, it's like the guy in the supermarket. He starts talking to the guy
the
in the
Mandela
supermarket.
Effect.
Yeah, and then follows that. Or the one that blew my mind, I mean, they all were incredible mm-hmm. and are really worth watching, as are the films he did, his documentary films he did before it, which are very similar to, they're similar in structure. They're kind of like, you know, you see how he came to do the HBO show. I think it's called John's Movies. I think they're on Vimeo at John's Movies.
Right, we gave that web address last episode.
But the one where he's talking about being in the a cappella singing group in college, and then the third act, it turns out that like one of the judges is Keith Raniere from the NXIVM sex cult.
He put it on. It was his thing. And then how they had to apologize. Like, that, when that happened.
It was incredible.
I believe that, I want to say that was the wine episode, because it was sort of like, you didn't even know how you got to, it was sort of like, it was the wine episode, because it was like, oh, I'm just agreeing with people to fit in with their opinions about wine. The last time I did that, I was in an a cappella group. And you go on this weird side journey about NXIVM. And then you come out of NXIVM and you go into another weird side journey about energy drinks. The episodes morph and change and the visuals are so amazing. It was funny, though, because I was saying to June, like, what does this make you think of when we were watching it? And she's like, it just makes me not want to move back to New York.
Oh, yeah.
And there is something about it, because it shows you the New York that I think that we all know.
Sure. Right?
But it's not the New York that is like idle. It's not the...
It's not ever the New York that's in things.
Yes.
It's not ever the New York that you see. It's the New York that you live in when you
yes,
live there.
Exactly.
But it's not the New York that anybody ever shows you.
And,
you know,
it's yeah.
the, and the, in the way that I think about like... Like, he's the only person who's showing New Yorkers doing what New Yorkers do, which is constantly looking at their phones.
Oh,
like,
God.
We never see that in movies and TV. A population of people all staring down. You know, that's not happen. Doesn't happen. Background extras, they don't do that, you know?
And there's one moment in that show that got me. I mean, the whole show, he's fantastic. The show is amazing. And it's produced by Nathan Fielder. And it has some of his team from Nathan For You on that show as well. But there's a moment in that show where he talks about where he used to live and how bad it was, like the area, so much so that a TV show used it as like a third, like a bombed like a, out third
yes,
world
Kosovo
country.
Or something
yeah, Kosovo.
Like that.
And like their land.
One of the procedural shows used it as like a war zone.
And they cut that footage in, and it's like with he says with minimal set dressing, we were able to look like a war torn country, and it really truly is what a joy. And I think what I had done was I'd watch like one episode, and I was like, oh, okay, I get this.
Sure, I do that all the time.
And then going back, I was like, oh, this it almost. And I think to your point about like the cell phones and everything, it requires attention. You know, like it really does, because what you said about the visuals are so tied to the narration and your watch, it's so multifaceted. And I think like once, you know, it's like it requires you to watch more actively in a way, because
you can't like be on your phone. You
exactly.
can't, because a lot of times the voiceover and the visual are different, but the juxtaposition creates a meaning.
Yes.
So you really have to be watching and listening and giving it your full attention. But it's worth it because it's very funny and it's incredibly rewarding. And it's really about, he is like the yes and person.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly yes anding himself into situations, into meeting interesting people and then following them on some weird side journey. All the stuff about his landlord really blew my mind.
Oh my gosh, mama.
I mean, incredible. Hey, mama. Hey, mama.
Hey, mama. Mama. Hey, mama. But the idea that also people will talk. And I think that that's the thing that's so fascinating. Yeah. Like he meets a ventriloquist on the Staten Island Ferry. And then all of a sudden he is in that guy's house.
Or the guy who's trying to stretch his foreskin back because he doesn't.
God,
he's trying to undo his circumcision.
Which we go
straight to that guy's house.
Which,
you know?
Again, is just a side story in such a larger piece. It's so good. Highly recommend. I mean, I'm a big fan of HBO Max. They don't pay me in any way, but I do believe that HBO Max has...
You are wearing an HBO Max hat and hoodie.
I know. Well, now that they've merged with Discovery, I mean, what's not to love?
Oh, that makes me happy. I really, for our listeners, I really can't recommend both of those shows enough. But How To with John Wilson, just because I think it really is a bit of a smaller show. And I want people to like check it out.
If you
really
like
rewarding.
If you like Nathan For You, there is no doubt that you will like this show. Like it is.
And if you are watching this, if you've watched John Wilson or are watching John and like it and have never seen Nathan For You, watch that too.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that also slipped through people's cracks.
No. all right. So what else? I've been in your recommendation world, so I haven't done more than that, truly. Besides seeing The Batman, which I know you have not seen.
I have not seen. I think I might try and go to the drive-in and see it this weekend because I still haven't been inside of a movie theater.
Yeah.
I've been watching a bunch of stuff that I'll talk about, but I want to talk about one thing up top. We talked about it before on this show, but one of my absolute favorite things of the last few years has been Connor Ratliff's podcast, Dead Eyes.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you're bringing this up.
Okay.
Yes.
So it is an incredible, so just to refresh people's memories, I think we talked about it quite a while ago, but for the last 2 years or more.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years and change.
It's been a three-season show.
Been, Yeah, Connor's been doing a show. He's a comedian out of New York that we know. He does the George Lucas talk show. He was part of the Chris Gethard show. He's on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Incredible performer, incredible improviser. And he has this kind of fundamental story where he was cast in Band of Brothers, the HBO World War II.
A small part.
A very, like, a five-line part in Band of Brothers right at the beginning of his career, straight out of drama school. He was cast.
And gets costume fitted and, like, fully ready to go.
He's ready to go. And then he gets a message that Tom Hanks has watched his audition tape. Tom Hanks, who's going to be directing the episode, who's watched his audition tape and is firing him because he thinks he has dead eyes.
He has to re-audition.
So
he goes in to re-audition and goes in front of Tom Hanks, who's lovely, and does his, you know, two or three lines.
Does his thing,
To which Tom Hanks even responds by going, "Oh, that's it. I wish there was more," you know, and sends him on his way.
Exactly.
And then finds out that they are recasting him because Tom thought that he had dead eyes.
Dead eyes. Well, I think the dead eyes came first. It came from the audition tape. And then his agent's assistant calls him and says, "You have to go back and audition in person because Tom Hanks thinks you have dead eyes on the tape."
Yes.
Anyway, Connor doesn't get the part. But not to belabor that part of it, because the podcast has been this incredibly, and I said it in relation to John Wilson's show, but this incredibly, like, human exploration of what we perceive to be failure or the things that really knock us off our perceived tracks. It's a lot about our business and our industry. He talks to all sorts of people who are associated with, he talks to the person who did play that part. He talks to actors who've been in the show. He talks to other actors about their dead eyes experiences.
Well, everybody has, I mean, this world that we're in, there is so much failure, right? If you got three of the parts that you auditioned for, you would be viewed as being very successful, right? Like, and
well, it's, somebody says it in the show. I think Tony Hale says it at one point. He says, "This is the only business where most businesses, you do a bunch of job interviews and then you get a job for like 5 to 10 years. This is you might do job interviews for 2 months, you know, and then work for 5 years." He was like, "This is the only business where you job interview for years and your jobs last 2 months."
Well, I always say, you know, that this, you business really is, are,
yeah.
This business is like, and not to compare us in the physical labor of it, but we're like construction workers. We get a job site, we build the job, and then you move.
Yep.
And that is it. Like, you are constantly, once the building is done, you hope you get the next gig or the next thing, but it...
Well, and one of the things that's like really endemic to this business that we kind of, that they talk about a lot in the show is just rejection writ large.
Yes.
Like, you are going to audition a lot, and 98% of those jobs, 99% of those jobs, you're not going to get.
Well, like,
you're not going to get, and you're not even going to know why you didn't get it. You just didn't get it.
I remember talking to a commercial when I first started out, and this is going back to that, if you get three jobs, like, this commercial agent said, "Look, if you're auditioning for commercials, you're probably doing two or three auditions a week at minimum, if not more." And that was at least when we were coming up. I didn't audition that much, but other people I know did. And if you did that every week for 52 weeks and you got three commercials, most people would think, "Oh my God, you are
incredible ratio,
killing
incredible."
It. But that is like truly, you know, whatever, 3 times 52, you know, it's like, it's the ratio.
Oh, no,
is
you
so
are
small.
Always being rejected. You're always not getting the job. And you really have to be good with that. Anyway, the show starts off as this kind of Connor kind of self-pityingly kind of going through, picking at this wound that he's had for 20 some odd years or however long it's been since Band of Brothers. But it then blossoms into this incredible story where he's talking to all of these other people and he really starts to understand on a much larger scale, get out of himself and understand the larger world as a result. Anyway, it's this really beautiful podcast series. And the 30th episode just came out, and it's Connor talking to Tom Hanks.
And so, what a fulfilling, like, conclusion to a beautiful show. I will say that, just like you said, like John Wilson, it goes on many journeys, many sidetracks. Yeah. And I think there are moments, like, I was on an episode because I worked with Tom Hanks on an animated show that he did called Electric City. And, you know, just talking about everybody's, there's an energy around who is Tom Hanks? What is our relationship to Tom Hanks? Because the truth is, this story isn't as interesting if it was just a regular director,
oh, yeah.
You know, if it was somebody that we didn't know. It is
absolutely
America's favorite person in many respects. Like, the most yeah. likable guy said this
well,
thing.
Well, we all have an idea of who Tom Hanks is.
Yes.
You know, we all have an idea of who this person is and what he kind of stands for. And he's America's dad. He's the nice guy. He's all these kind of things. And Jason, everybody talks yeah. about this.
You Go said ahead. It first, Jason. You know, COVID didn't begin until Tom Hanks got COVID.
It's true. I mean. It's true. anyway, I really wanted to put that out there because I think our yes. listeners would really like it. I know we've talked about it before, but just because of these recent developments,
yeah.
I really wanted to highlight it again so that people will check
so
it out.
It's so good. And you know, there probably isn't a want to just listen to the Tom Hanks episode. What I would say is, at the beginning of that episode, Connor gives you the episode numbers that you could listen to if you wanted a streamlined version of it. And I truly believe if you don't want to go through all three seasons, just do the streamlined version, because the ending will be way more fulfilling. It's not yeah. going, like, I wouldn't listen to the first and the last. It's not, the journey is so fascinating. I will also point out that there is one episode where Connor is playing a real person, Agent Zelensky or whatever, Sergeant yeah. Zelensky.
Yep.
And there's an episode in which he just researches the actual real life
I was
person.
Just going to mention this episode because it's incredible.
Wow. What a beauty. I mean, and that one is one of those Pandora's.
That could be a show unto itself.
It
you know what I mean?
Truly
like,
is amazing.
Like finding the relatives
yes.
of the man that he was supposed to play, who, you know, again, his part was like five lines, most of mm-hmm. which were yes sir, yes sir, okay sir. Like, those are the kind of lines. It's a part that is so small and so insignificant, and that's part of it, you know what I mean?
Yes. And I think that it's just a great what a fulfilling
yeah.
ending. And in a show about failure, it's also a show about, like, where failure puts us too. Like, you know, the opportunities that we get. I think one of the things, and this is not spoiling the last episode, but, you know, Tom Hanks does talk about this idea, like, well, if that didn't happen, what would have changed? And like, and there yeah. are certain things that inform who Connor is. And sometimes it's like that growth, that journey, that other thing is worth it, or you don't, you know, it's like maybe
in
the moment,
you have to
you know?
Look at it that way. Like, I think what Connor has is a result of that thing happening.
And the show
is
not
to have yeah. a, you don't get to have a, it didn't happen and everything went the other way or some other way.
It's not,
it happened.
Yeah. And it's not an axe grindy podcast as well. I mean,
it really is not.
There's so many great stories, and I've never seen Band of Brothers. It makes me want to watch Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
It just sort of is a show that kind of like flew.
It's great. I never watched the second one, The Pacific.
Okay.
But the Band of Brothers I remember it as being fantastic.
I mean, everyone says it's
I haven't
amazing.
Watched it since then. So.
Yeah. But you don't need to watch Band of Brothers to even have
yes.
any connection to this.
Not at all. And you also, to be clear, you don't need to be an actor.
Nope.
To understand it, it's a very human story about our own insecurities and our own hurt feelings and the things we carry, the rejections that we carry, whether they're from professional or whatever. You know, the rejection is the thing that sticks with you and that makes you, that you think about over and over and over again, you know? It's really very good. It's an incredible piece.
I mean, there are those moments. I mean, when we were in New York, you always seem way more together than I am, Jason. But the idea that did you ever have one of those an audition experience that you are like, I can live in a moment. Like, if you tell me, like, I can tell you about a moment and feel right back in that moment, like an audition moment that probably no one remembers but me.
Really?
Like, oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Do you got one?
Yeah, I have one. And it was so, it's so fucking embarrassing. And like, I'm back at being embarrassed. It's so long ago. It's so fucking long ago. I was watching some documentary and they were talking about like Robin Williams on Happy Days and how he made all these bizarre choices, and the bizarre choices like really helped, you know, get him to a place. And I made the dumbest fucking, oh God, I'm embarrassed to talk about it because it's like, it means nothing. So anyway, I'm just going to, I'll embrace it and say this.
You can say it. You can also cut it out if you want.
There's nothing, I'm embarrassed for myself. It's like being embarrassed about like doing something in fifth grade. I'm so far past it, but I was in that boat where I'm like, I'm not auditioning enough. Maybe I'm not, or I'm not getting parts in these commercials. I should do something different. How do I stand out? What do I do? And it was like a commercial for like a Kit Kat bar or whatever. And I remember, and this is where it's so terrible. There was a moment where they were saying, oh, Robin Williams did the whole audition for Mork on his head. And and people like that. And so I was like, I'm going to do this Kit Kat audition on my head. But first of all, I never tried to do anything on my head. Never.
Oh my God. Incredible.
And then also, it was on a rolling chair. And I was trying to get myself on this fucking thing and trying to be upside down. And I just remember like the audition, the casting director being like, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. Just why don't you just sit down? And I was like, oh, but I wanted to do it this way, I think. And I was like, and I just walked.
Incredible.
Oh, it was so. It makes me anxious to even talk about it,
But see, that's the thing is like that is like, you can let that go.
I know.
You can let that go forever.
I know. I have a hard time.
Part of it for me is like, I'm sure I have just as many embarrassing, like nonsense things I did.
Yeah.
But I just don't remember them. You know, like I, for whatever reason, have the ability to just like erase all of those bad, you know, embarrassing auditions or embarrassing choices I made, or what, especially in the era you're talking about, like when we were doing commercial auditions.
Yeah.
Because I remember one of them being like, and it was like, it was for a cruise line and you had to get into a bathing suit and pretend you were coming out of the pool. And it was, so you had to go, it was at Liz Lewis casting. I had to go into the bathroom, change into a bathing suit, come out. And then everybody's standing around in bathing suit. I was like, this is crazy.
No,
but I also am like, that's all I remember. I don't remember feeling anything really other than just like, I remember that was, I had to do that. And that was, you know, nonsense, but that's it.
I hold on to those. Like I understand like the idea of like Scientology of like going back and engramming out like those moments, like ironing them out, because
that's amazing.
I can remember something like from fifth grade and be like, why did I say that in class?
But it's why you're a great storyteller is because you remember not just the facts of the story, but the feelings.
Makes me I'm still nauseous from telling that story about it because I'm seeing myself doing it. And I'm like, oh, you get the fuck off that chair, you dumbass. Anyway, Jason, not a full, like, we just recommended a handful of things, but I think the things that are so good.
I'm really glad we got to talk about Dead Eyes.
Yes.
That's get really, on it. Yeah, it makes me happy.
All right. Wow. I told you that quartet was very HBO Max specific. Thankfully, we got to talk a little bit about Connor Ratcliffe's great podcast, which we love so much. Anyway, now that we got Dancing It's On out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. Last week we learned that you can't play dance, and now we're learning you can't stop a man from remembering his memories. That's right. Next week we are watching the 1991 film Shattered. It's important to remember that 1991, there's a lot of movies called Shattered. This one has Tom Berenger and Bob Hoskins and Greta Sacchi. Here's a short breakdown of the plot. Dan Merrick, Tom Berenger, and his wife, Judith, have a car accident. Judith is thrown free, but Dan is injured, his face disfigured. He comes out of a coma with amnesia, full of general knowledge, but completely ignorant of his own family life. Slowly, he begins to put the pieces back together, but there are some troubling memories that don't mesh with the stories he's being told, and he hires a private detective, Gus Klein, that's Bob Hoskins, to help unravel the mystery of his past. All right, this film on Rotten Tomatoes has a big old 36%. That's a splat. on the Tomato Meter. And Roger Ebert from the Chicago Sun-Times says this movie is finally so ridiculous it cannot be taken seriously as a thriller or anything else. But there are moments that work, and you'll love the look on the hero's face when he discovers the identity of the dead body. Now, there is not a trailer that has dialogue, only a lot of music, so we have pulled a clip to help explain the general premise of the film.
We call that psychogenic amnesia. The patient doesn't know his name, his family, his personal history. Everything else he remembers. The year, who's president. He can drive a car, he can function professionally, but anything personal, just out of reach.
For how long?
Could be a week. I'm gonna have to be honest. Could also be permanent.
There you go. Amnesia, baby. You can rent or buy Shattered on Vudu, Amazon Prime, or on Apple. Please check out Hoopla, which is a digital media service offered by your local public library that allows you to borrow movies, music, and audiobooks, and ebooks, and comics, and TV shows, all on your computer. I know the LAUSD also, or LA public libraries also have an amazing system like that too. It's not Hoopla, but you can check that out. It is so amazing. Support your local public libraries, especially after this pandemic. They need your support. And people, that is it. Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. That's a new thing that they're doing on Apple Podcasts. Visit us on social media. And for commercial free access to How Did This Get Made and our entire archive and so much more, sign up for Stitcher Premium for a free 1 month trial. Use the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS. That is BONKERS. And a big thank you to our producers, Cody Fisher and Molly Reynolds, our engineer, Devin Bryant, and our publisher, July Diaz. We will see you next week for Shattered. Bye for now.
Why, hello, this is Andy Daly popping in to wish Comedy Bang Bang a happy 15th anniversary. 15 years, wow. Comedy Bang Bang has been a great thing for me. So many people have found me through Comedy Bang Bang, and also, if it weren't for Comedy Bang Bang, I don't think I ever would have realized that performing comedy into a microphone in the middle of the day in a room with two or three other people is my favorite way to perform. And I would still be toiling away on stages in front of audiences at night. Ugh. So thank you for that, Comedy Bang Bang, which can be found wherever you get your podcasts. Comedy Bang Bang, Comedy Bang Bang.